Great, though. Well, good morning, Church in the Falls. That was kind of weak. This is a Resurrection Sunday. This is the best day of the year in our faith when you consider what the resurrection means to your eternity. So let me try it again. Good morning, Church in the Falls.
Good morning.
All right, very good. I'm so glad that all of you have come out today. And if you're a visitor with us today, let me extend the warmest welcome I can. We knew you were coming. We've been praying for you, not by name, but hopefully we can add the name to it today. Thank you for being here. We are striving to be a family that anyone can belong to. So if you're here today, it is not by accident. And we hope that you'll have a great cup of coffee, meet a new friend, and most importantly, that you'll leave with your faith pushed a little bit and developed a little bit. That is what we're all about here, is learning to follow in the steps of Jesus and living the life that He designed for us. Today I've got really good news and a challenge. And the good news is real simple. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. And 3 days later, He busted out of the tomb. And it is a documentable scientific fact. And you can lean on it, you can trust it, and you can believe it. And you can hang your life on it. That is just the best news ever. And there's been nothing like it in all of time and space and all the history of mankind quite like the resurrection of Christ. But in light of that, I want to challenge you today in a different kind of way. There's a lot of ways that I could approach this. And the way I want to choose to do that today is we're going to take a big swath look, a big picture look at the Gospel of John. There's so much great elements in there, but there's a few things that keep cycling around, and I think it ties right into the heart of something that really is important in light of the resurrection. I want to set the tone with this. In John 7:7, the voice reads it this way: "If anyone is willing to act according to His purposes," talking about God's, "and is open to hearing the truth, he will know the source of my teaching," Jesus says, "whether it comes from God or from me." The NIRV says it this way: "Here is how someone can find out whether my teaching comes from God or just from me. That person must choose to do what God wants them to do." What he's saying is, you can test this. If you genuinely want to know, if you genuinely believe that God is what you want to do and you want to serve Him, then you can listen to the words of Christ. And you will know they're true because they will align with something so deep in you that it will be unmistakable. And by converse, if you do not lean into God, you will hear the words of Christ and likely claim that they are not true. Or maybe you could say it this way: if you hear the claims of Christ and you're not so sure, maybe your heart is not fully engaged in wanting to serve God. Lots of ways you could frame that today. And you'll have to find the one that is most appropriate for you and your situation. But this is a challenge Jesus gives, and He tests it. It's ironic. He says, "You can test me, and I promise I'm going to test you." You see it all through the Gospel of John. I'll share a few of them with you today. But it raises some questions for us. Is your soil ready to hear God? Is your heart open? Do you have eyes that see and ears that hear? Because if you do, and you're leaning into God, you will hear the words of Christ, and you will know that they are true. The test is in your heart, not in whether they are documentable. And Jesus pushes people regularly. Another phrase you see a lot in the Gospel of John is, "and they were divided." Well, he was Elijah. Oh, he's John the Baptist. Oh, he's this. He's the Messiah. He's not the Messiah. How do we know? They're really miracles. But maybe they're from the devil. And the Bible sends this message out. As Jesus teaches, people are listening and they're like, "Well, I don't understand what to do." And some people who have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart leaning into God, they hear His words and they go, "He's the Messiah. God revealed that to you." Remember what He said to Peter? "You didn't know that by your own self. God drew you into that. God brought you. He nudged you and your heart was open to it and you heard my words and you knew they were true. And then other people are going, that must be from the devil. That doesn't make sense. He's not saying the right things. He's not saying what the Messiah is supposed to say. And they were divided. We see this often. John 10, verse 38 says this, but examine my actions and you will see that my work, he's talking of his miracles here, you will see that my work is the work of the Father. Regardless of whether you believe in me, at least believe the miracles, he says. Then you will know that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. So a second way, not only will you know if you're aligned with God, if you're leaning into God, you'll hear his words and know. He says, if nothing else, believe the miracles. Do the research on the resurrection, for example. It's overwhelming. You don't have to like Jesus. Step back and go, I don't know about Jesus, but I know that's true because there's no other explanation. And therefore, I have to take pause. Nobody does what Jesus did. Nobody makes the claims that Jesus claimed. Nobody could back them up the way he did. In chapter 14, verse 11, he says the same thing to his apostles. At least believe the miracles. They are the evidence. It's interesting. We think we have to have evidence to prove a miracle. Jesus says, no, the miracles are the evidence. They prove what I'm saying. At least believe those. There's something really big going on here. It's as if Jesus is getting ready to sift people. This is the message I want you to take. God throughout John is pulling us. And if our hearts are engaged, if we have eyes to see and ears to hear, and we lean into that drawing, then when Jesus pushes us, and you'll see him do it a lot, we'll still steady the course because God is drawing us. If, however, God is not drawing us and we don't have eyes to see and we don't have ears to hear, Jesus shoves us and we go, I don't know about that. I don't really want all that. And we back off. It maybe looks like this. You get a nudge. The Spirit says to you, I want you to give of your finances to do this thing. I don't know about that. The Spirit nudges you and says, I want you to give of your time to do this thing. I would like to, but I just don't have that time, and I'm not so sure. I want you to volunteer to teach cubbies. I don't know how to do that. They're just so young and so little. I want you to go and step into a high school classroom and navigate the complicated waters of high school. Tell them about Jesus. I don't know. I'm not really that much of a teacher. That's the shove and the pullback. I want to challenge you to think. One way to measure that is that maybe you don't have eyes to hear, or eyes to see and ears to hear. Your heart is not leaning into God. God is drawing you, but you're not receiving it. And if you're not receiving that, then when Jesus pushes back, you fall off. And he does it all the time. Chapter 8 is a good example. Jesus frees this adulterous woman. He who has no sin casts the first stone. Remember the story? And they all peel away. And the Bible says that he was left with the crowd and the girl, and himself. And he says, where's your accusers? She says, I don't know. He says, well, neither do I accuse you. And he releases her. And then he turns back to the crowd and begins to teach again. Now, this is a moment. They're listening now. He's done something semi-miraculous. He stood up against Pharisees. He has freed someone from a very uncomfortable situation. Handled it like a boss. And they're listening to him. He begins to teach again. The Bible says in John 8, 27, they still didn't get it. They didn't realize that he was referring to the Father. He's beginning to teach them. So Jesus tried again. When you raise up the Son of Man, then you will know who I am. Here's another theme I want you to grab, okay? God's pulling, and one of the ways he does it is by lifting up the Son of Man. He will draw all men to himself. He says this many different times. Here's one of them. So God is drawing, and if we have ears to hear and eyes to see and our heart leans in, then we will know that Christ is who he said he is. And you'll see the miracles and you will know that Christ is who he said he is. So this is this dynamic going on in John. He's teaching this right here. He's saying, look, the Son of Man will be lifted up and you will know who I am. And I'm not making this up, he says, but speaking only what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me stays with me. He doesn't abandon me. He sees how much joy I take in pleasing him. And when he put it in these terms, the Bible says, many people decided to believe. Now, just pause a minute. When you're teaching and you're preaching, you're trying to get everybody's attention. And you finally say something and they're all going, yeah, yeah, that makes sense. I believe that. That is the moment that any normal, sane person draws them in deeper, right? Not Jesus. He gets them on board and then he shoves them back. And they're all like, what is going on? That's not, wait a minute. Watch what he does here. Then Jesus turned to the Jews who claimed to believe in him. If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you're my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourself the truth and the truth will set you free. He's saying a bunch of words and you know what they pick up on? They say, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves to anyone. That is not the highlight of what he just said. Here's what he's doing. He's exposing them. See, they're coming at this from a different perspective. I want to suggest to you that this crowd who are beginning to nod and go, okay, all right, this is Jesus. He's making sense. He might could take down the Romans. We hate the Romans. The Pharisees are just annoying. He's handling them like a boss too. Oh, and by the way, the woman in adultery, he just forgives her. I could use a little of that myself. Takes down the Romans, stands up against the irritating Pharisees who are always telling me what I ought to should do. I don't want to be a slave to a bunch of rules. And he forgives sin. I like this guy. This is good for me. And Jesus says something about freedom. And they immediately react. We've not been slaves. We're children of Abraham. We're not slaves. And he says, you're slave to sin. No, we're not. Yes, we are. Back and forth. And he builds. He creates conflict and shoves all of these people who just started to believe in him. And he builds this whole controversy. It's just too good to miss. So what I want to do, we're going to watch a 5-minute reading of the Gospel of John set in video. Watch the dynamic. This is right after he's begun to teaching. He's just set the lady free. And he's stepping into this conflict. You'll hear them say, some began to believe in him. And watch it turn. Watch this.
You belong to this world here below, but I come from above. You are from this world, but I am not from this world. That is why I told you that you will die in your sins. And you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am who I am. You. What I have told you from the very beginning. The one who sent me, however, is truthful. And I tell the world only what I have heard from him.
They did not understand that Jesus was talking to them about the Father.
When you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am who I am. Then you will know that I do nothing on my own authority. But I say only what the Father has instructed me to say. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. Because I always do what pleases him.
Many who heard Jesus say these things believed in him.
If you obey my teaching, you are really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
We are the descendants of Abraham, and we have never been anybody's slaves. What do you mean, then, by saying you will be free?
I am telling you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave does not belong to a family permanently, but a son belongs there forever. If the son sets you free, then you will be really free. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are trying to kill me because you will not accept my teaching. I talk about what my father has shown me. But you do what your father has told you.
My father is Abraham.
He is Abraham.
If you really were Abraham's children, you would do the same things that he did. All I have ever done is to tell you the truth I heard from God, yet you are trying to kill me. Abraham did nothing like this. You were doing what your father did.
God himself is the only father we have, and we are his true children.
If God really were your father, you would love me, because I came from God, and now I am here. I did not come on my own authority, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to listen to my message. You are the children of your father, the devil, and you want to follow your father's desires. From the very beginning, he was a murderer and has never been on the side of truth, because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he is only doing what is natural to him, because he is a liar and the father of all lies. But I tell the truth, and that is why you do not believe me. Which one of you can prove that I am guilty of sin? If I tell the truth, then why do you not believe me? He who comes from God listens to God's words. You, however, are not from God, and that is why you will not listen.
Were we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon in you?
I have no demon. I honor my father, but you dishonor me. I am not seeking honor for myself, but there is one who is seeking it and who judges in my favor. I am telling you the truth. Whoever obeys my teaching will never die.
Now we know for sure that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets died. Yet you say that whoever obeys your teaching will never die.
Our father Abraham died. You do not claim to be greater than Abraham, do you?
And the prophets also died.
Who do you think you are?
If I were to honor myself, that honor would be worth nothing. The one who honors me is my father, the very one you say is your God. You have never known him, but I know. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him, and I obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see the time of my coming. He saw it and was glad.
You are not even 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham.
I am telling you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am.
Then they picked up stones to throw at him.
So let me ask you a question. This is what Jesus is saying. Who's your daddy? His statement is very clear. He draws them in, he gets them believing, and then he shoves them. If your daddy was really who you claim to be, then you would hear me, and you would listen to my words. But that's not your daddy. Your daddy is the devil. He's such a kind teacher, right? Did you see the turn? He does it all the time. So my thought is, in a context like this, where I want to draw you in and tell you all about the love of God, there's a moment biblically where Jesus turns it and says, if you really are following God, if God the Father is your daddy and you're really listening to the words of Christ, then when I shove you, you're going to keep on coming because it's God who's drawing you. A little self-evaluation opportunity. It's powerful, and it's all through the text. Let me give you a quick rundown. John 3, Nicodemus. He slips in at night. He's quiet. He's hiding. By the end of the story, he's taking care of the body. All right? He's a believer. His heart is leaning in, but he's slow. Jesus brings him in and says, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Well, how am I supposed to get back in my mother's womb? I don't understand. You're a teacher and you don't know these things? How in the world am I going to tell you something of spiritual and heavenly nature when you don't even understand the physical realm? Nicodemus, The famous passage, John 3:16, is in this context. But just like the snake was lifted up, he says in 3:14, when I'm lifted up, here's the thing again. God's going to draw you, Nicodemus. And if you're sincere, then I can shove you right now and you're going to keep on coming. And guess what he does? John 4, the woman at the well, he sits there. He has this whole interaction with her about water. And then he turns on her like fire. Go get your husband. I don't have a husband. That's right, you don't have a husband. You got five. And the man you're living with is not even your husband. And she responds, "Woo, you're a prophet. I'm going to go tell everybody." Who's drawing her? Answer, who's drawing her? God is pulling her, and Jesus shoves her, and she keeps on coming because God's got this. I need you to see the difference here. He shoves her, and she goes and tells the whole town. John 5, lame man at the pool, he's sitting there, and Jesus comes up and says what? Do you even want to be healed? He heals him, gets in a whole dispute about the Sabbath, and he finds him a little bit later. In chapter 5, verse 14, he says, stop sinning or something worse is going to happen. We don't know the end of his story. Jesus shoves him. Do you see that? Chapter 6, he feeds the 5,000 people. Men and women, they try to take him. He hides off in the mountain because he's trying to keep himself focused. He walks on the water, this whole experience. He gets across the Sea of Galilee, and all the crowd runs around to catch up with him. Because now it's the next day, and they're hungry again. And they show up. And he says, you're coming here just because you're hungry again. You missed the point of the miracle. I didn't give you food just to give you food. And they're like, yeah, but Moses gave his people food. He's like, I didn't give you food to just give you food. I gave you food so that you could understand something. Man does not live by bread alone, but by the Word of God. And I'm the Word of God. I'm going to feed you with something bigger than that. You missed the point of the miracle. And they're like, yeah, but we want to follow you. We want to have some of that food. He's got a following. What does he do? He shoves them. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And they're like, whoa, that's a little weird, Jesus. It's a hard teaching, the Bible says. And many of his disciples left that day. And he turns right to the 12 and says, are you guys going to leave too? And in all honesty, Peter's like, Jesus, you're whack. I mean, that is weird. I'm not. Where else do we go? You have the words of life. They didn't have to know the end of the story to know, because their heart was leaning into God and God was drawing them. And so they knew the words of Christ made sense. They didn't know all the end of the story. They didn't know about crucifixion. They didn't understand about how we're going to eat and drink blood. That is weird. But you know what? You got the words of life, so whatever. Where else are we going to go? Peter says. The words of life. Remember, not living by bread alone, but by every word. This is what they're getting. They're understanding something. God was drawing them, and Jesus could shove them, and they're going to keep coming back. It's a way that he thins out the herds. He tests, he challenges, he pushes. It's constant through the text. Chapter 10. The people surrounded him and asked, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? Are you the Messiah or not? Tell us plainly. Jesus says, I've already told you, but you don't believe me. The proof is the work I do in my Father's name. But you don't believe me because you're not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. They know me. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. And no one can snatch them away from me. Why? For my Father has given them to me. Who's drawing them out? The Father. This is important. God draws, Jesus shoves, and those who keep coming, he knows that they're his sheep. And I don't know what experiences of shoving you've had in your life, but I'm guessing you've had some where you're pushed. And the question is, who's your daddy? If God the Father is your daddy and he is drawing you in, then you can be assured that you may not understand, but you still know that the words make sense. in some way because you know whom you follow. And God's got this. Shepherd's voice. One of the things that I discovered when I deployed many years ago is Build-A-Bear would allow you to put voice. Battery's about dead. But this is what I had hoped for my little girl. Push play. One could argue that that's confusing, right? But what did that little girl know? She knew her daddy's voice. The spiritual implications of that are life-altering. If you know your daddy's voice, because your heart is leaning in, because God is drawing you, because you have eyes to see and ears to hear, then when you see the words of Christ, as he said, if you loved my Father, you would love me because you would know that I come from him. And I'm only doing things in his name. It's for his glory. It's for his honor. I only do what he tells me to do. And if you watch me carefully and you know God, you'll know me. You'll be my sheep. You'll understand my voice. Because I and the Father are one. So again, I ask you, when has God shoved you? More specifically, when has Christ shoved you in a way that made you go, I don't know if I want all that? Eating flesh, drinking blood, really, God? Is that what you're asking me to do? And what you just exposed is who your daddy really is by your resistance. Now I'm shoving a little bit this morning. Can you feel it? Happy Easter. I want you to think about this, sir, because I think this is so important. When you have a documentable fact that is so powerful, and Jesus says, if nothing else, at least for the sake of the miracles, believe in me. Today is one of the grandiose miracles of all time and space. Believe it. Even if you're not sure of some of the crazy things Jesus calls you to do. If your heart is leaning in towards God, if God is drawing you, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, then you can know that Christ is accurate and right and true because your daddy will tell you so. And if not, then again, who's your daddy? It raises a very valid question. Jesus was not afraid to go there. John 12, he will draw all men to himself. He says it again in 12:32. Consistently in the Gospel of John. One of the phrases I want to leave you with is this. Can you rise above the shove? When Jesus shoves and pushes you back, and the only way you're going to stay is if the Father is calling you, and you have eyes to see and ears to hear, and your heart is leaning in. If that's your situation, then you can stand up against the shove. When you're pushed, you won't be sifted out. Because God will pull you back in. And all the crazy things God may call you to, through the word of Christ, through the Spirit's leading, will make sense. Not because on the surface they make sense. They look like a bear. But you know your daddy's voice. And that makes the difference. The question is, do you know his voice? Have you spent the time to invest Remember the story that we started with today. The woman caught in adultery. He forgives her and he turns and says, hey, you would understand this if you understood my father. He longs for mercy. And yet you accuse me. You don't know who my father really is. But I only do what he tells me to do. And apparently he told him to do that. And we should go, you know what? That's hard, but yeah, I see that in God's character. I see that. That makes sense. This Jesus guy's for real. Oh, and by the way, he's doing miracles. Nobody can do miracles unless he comes from God. Something is going on. I want to trust him. I don't understand it all, but I'm going to trust him. I don't know where you're coming from today. Some of you here are regular attenders and you check your box of church every week. But you don't know God. I want to challenge you to give yourself that litmus test. If you're being pulled in a direction and you're resisting, it exposes something about where your heart is. And only you know that pull. It's not something I'm asking for. If you're one of the type who only come to church once or twice a year and you're here today and you're just thinking, I'm not sure I want any more of this, and you're pulling out, that's an exposing of where your heart is. But there's a good side to this as well. Some of you who don't go to church regularly, God's been pulling on you for months, and today is the day, and you show up and you're thinking, I just need to go and get back in church. I need to go find God. I need to reconnect because there's something missing in me. And God is drawing you. And so when Jesus shoves and you hear words like I've said to you today, you know it's safe and you feel that pull. Today is your day. Today is your day. Today is your day to understand who your daddy really is and to invest in that. And likewise, for some of you who are regular attenders who maybe haven't thought about it this way, and you've been feeling something missing, and today it's connecting. Who's your daddy? Who's calling you? What is he calling you to do? Can you stand up? Can you rise above the shove? When Jesus pushes you and challenges you, can you handle it? Is your heart connected to the one who's calling you? Can you feel it today? I want to invite you to make a change today. If my pushing today has made you feel like, I don't know if I want all that, you're not ready. We'll see you next time. If my pushing has just disoriented, but there's something in you that draws you back in, that's your daddy. He is calling you. He is pulling you. And he will do amazing things if you'll simply submit yourself to it. Why not today? I'm going to offer a word of prayer. We're going to sing a song. We're going to wrap the service up today. But if there's something that you need today, if you need to be pulled in a way and you feel it and God is moving in you and you're thinking, I need to pray about this. I need to think about it. I need to ask some questions. Please do that. On behalf of our entire leadership team, we love to help people. Sometimes it's our own fault. We care about you. And if we can serve you in a way and pray with you or encourage you in your walk, we want to do that. And I invite you to do that. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and I thank you for the mercy and the grace that you give us. Thank you for pulling us. And Father, thank you for shoving us and reminding us of what's important. Today, Father, I pray that you would reach and grab each of us, that you would draw us in, that we would hear your voice and know your voice and respond to your voice. For your glory and for our blessing, we pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.
There's a stirring deep within me.
Could it be my time has come?
When I see my gracious Savior face to face when all is done, is that his voice I am hearing? Come away, my precious one. Is he calling me? Is he calling me?
within me. Could it be my time has come?
When I see my gracious Savior face to face, when all is done, is that his voice I am hearing? Come away, my precious one. Is he calling me? Is he calling me? I will rise up. I'll rise up.
Then I'll bow down.
Blessing. May you always rise above the shove and respond to God as your Father. May you always know who is your Daddy, and may He always be gracious to you. Happy Easter. God bless you. Go in peace.